Coming up this week on Vacation Land, it's a special edition spooktacular. Last week we talked about our favorite things we were looking forward to in the Halloween season at the theme parks. This week we've actually been there. Well, some of us. From an undisclosed location near the Pacific Ocean, this is Vacation Land. This is Vacation Land for the week of October 2nd, 2017. And once again, I am joined by our Knoxville Farm reporter and YouTube sensation, Miranda Strodman, singer and impresario, Diane Hobby, and filling in for producer John again, Aaron Owens, covering Universal Studios. Welcome back, you guys.
Thank you.
That was such a fun show that we did last week, wasn't it?
Yes.
So we're here. We're not doing a normal news segment this week. We are actually just going to spend a few minutes. We're going to go through each of the things that we've experienced so far at the parks. We're going to go around the table and talk about things that Brandis did over at
Not Scary Farm,
and things that Diane's done over at California Adventure, and things that Aaron has done over at Universal Studios Hollywood. And we're just going to kind of give our impressions of those things. Brandis, and I don't know, Brandis, if you noticed the last show last week, I actually managed to get your name right.
I did notice.
Every single time.
You've been practicing these last
time. I have been practicing. It's like red leather, yellow leather, Brandis, unique New York, Brandis. Okay, so Brandis, go ahead and take it away. What'd you think of Halloween Horror Nights 2017?
Not Scary Farm.
Sorry, Not Scary Farm. See, I was so excited that I got your name right, I forgot right. Where you went. All right, tell us all about Not Scary Farm 2017.
So I have to say, it was so good this year. One of the things I missed out on is the trick-or-treat lights out, and that's because I didn't know they redid trick-or-treat. And I was getting a headache from so much screaming that I decided to skip it since I'd done Trick or Treat years before. So I'm going to have to go back and do that. But I have to say, Pumpkin Eater looks so innocent. Looks fairy tale from the outside, and it looks like something you would find at Disneyland. Like really calm and cute.
So not scary at all.
Yeah.
It lies.
No. And yeah, they did it so well, and at one point this bug comes out of nowhere and spits on you, and I actually screamed out, what was that? Because there's like suddenly wet on me, and it's disgusting.
I hate when that happens.
It was just disgusting and scary and just done very well. I thought that would be an easy one, and it wasn't. But the best was Dark Ride. That was absolutely amazing, because you don't know what is animatronics, what is real, and the animatronics are jumping at you as well as the real people and furniture is like coming to life.
Yeah, you get a real experience with a piece of furniture. Really interesting experience with a piece of furniture in that maze. Tell us about that.
Actually, that one, it was funny because, okay, so you're walking through and it looks like just this old beat up chair or something, and it was dark, so maybe it wasn't a chair.
I'm just going to, for those of you that may be listening and have not experienced this yet and don't want to hear spoilers, fast forward a couple of, we're going to really go into some detail about what we thought. So if you want to hear our opinions, but not necessarily what happened, just go ahead and fast forward a couple of seconds. But let's talk about your chair, Brandis.
Okay. So this was funny because, you know, they're not allowed to touch you. And any of the players are not allowed to touch you. So we're going through and this guy jumps out at you and you're screaming and moving over. And then the chair or whatever it is jumps up. And so then you're screaming and you go back. So what happened, my husband ended up bumping into the guy that had jumped out of us, and it was just so funny to see him like recoil because he's not supposed to touch him. But it was still, it was really scary, even though that part was really hilarious.
So tell us a little bit about Dark Ride. What is Dark Ride, and what was that one that you just said?
Pumpkin Eater.
So tell us what the actual basis of those is. What is the storyline behind those?
Okay, so Dark Ride is an abandoned carnival ride. Their description of it is cruel characters still linger in the shadows. Carnival attraction has become a refuge for sideshow freaks and now those shunned performers who created an ominous world where they plan to unleash terror on those who enter. So it's just a maze, and you could see the track in the ground of anybody who doesn't know what a dark ride is. Dark ride is any ride, scary or not, that's just in the dark. so usually animatronics and stuff. So you're going through, and that's where it comes in. So you go through the maze, and like I said, you don't know what is an animatronic, because they do have them, or what is an actual person. And the problem is some of the animatronics also jump out at you.
That sounds terrifying.
So it is nonstop terror. It's really great. Pretty dark, as a dark ride should be.
Right. That's amazing. That sounds amazing. I was a little bit taken by surprise when I read this was an actual maze. I think if you heard last week's show, I was really surprised that they didn't make an actual dark ride. You know, years ago they would transform Kingdom of the Dinosaurs into a sort of a scary ride. But they did that with they did that again this year after a while with the log ride, didn't they?
Yes. That one's family friendly, so we're going to go back with the kids for that. But they did a whole Halloween overlay. And if you just go into the park right now, you could see they hung a skull above the drop right there. So we will, I'll report back on that later.
Cool. Sounds good. And then tell us a little bit about the storyline of,
The
Pumpkin Eater, yeah.
Okay, yes, that one was also another one really, and so that was surprisingly scarier than I expected. So they said that the park's description, guests will attempt to survive the wrath of the murderous 7-foot-tall creature that haunts the old woods surrounding the hollow in this year's new maze, Pumpkin Eater. The notorious creature is on the prowl, hidden within the dark confines of the haunted town he once terrorized. To escape the sinister Pumpkin Eater's wrath, all who enter must go on a quest through the silent town of victims, face a cave of crawling insects, and solve the labyrinth of thorns that blocks the only way out.
That also sounds terrifying.
But it looks so innocent.
Right.
You're waiting in line, and there's regular jack-o'-lanterns, and there's a jack-o'-lantern that's like the eerie voice doing the nursery rhyme, Peter, Peter, Pumpkin Eater. So it just, it doesn't seem scary until you get in there.
Where is this maze located inside the park?
That is actually built to the outside of the park. I don't know. So if you go where, they have four mazes that are built in the back lot that usually is storage.
Oh.
So they really expand the park for these mazes. So what they did with this new one is the front of the park, they like built a little box sort of out of it, so you still go into the park, and then this whole section that is usually a fence is not there, and you go back. So it's right before Camp Snoopy.
Right. And so you were saying earlier before we started recording that you had not, that Camp Snoopy has an overlay that you have not had a chance yet to
experience. Yes, it's Camp Spooky.
What do they do for Camp Spooky? Do you know?
Well, it's very family friendly, Halloween fun during the day. They have an overlay on the little train that goes there. It's usually this story. Oh, I can't think of what it's called right now. Charlie Brown Goes to Camp and stuff. It's Linus talking. I think it's going to be the Great Pumpkin. Is that what it's called, the Great Pumpkin? I think that's what it's doing, but I'm not positive yet. We'll be going there with the kids. Then they have trick-or-treating in Ghost Town. They did a Halloween overlay for Splash Mountain, wrong park. Log Ride this year.
Well, that's later in the show.
Yeah. So that's all family-friendly fun. We'll go back with the kids and do another time. Since it all opened this week, we had to do Scary Farm first.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely. You gave me a great tip earlier. You said you had some interesting tips, and I've got some tips here from Knott's Berry Farm. But what was your big tip for getting into?
Oh, right. Okay, so most people, like I said, they open up behind Ghost Rider. They open up behind that, and that's the biggest, the most popular mazes, which I do say you have to do paranormal. That's it back there. But everyone wants to go back there, and everyone wants to rush. So everyone's at the left side of the park. So you go there early and get to the right side of the park, which is where Pumpkin Eater is, Camp Spooky. And so you wait there, and then when they open, run back to Dark Ride. And you'll be the first in line, because that's their biggest, newest one. So that's where the longest line will be outside of Infected. If you've done Infected before, you could skip it. It's the same. It's not as great as it was when it opened. But then after that, then you could head on back to Shadowlands, the Red Barn, back to Pumpkin Eater, and then if you feel like standing in lines after you get those out of the way, then you could go to Trick or Treat, Paranormal, Voodoo, Tooth Fairy. All those are over back there.
So your must-dos. What are your must-dos?
Paranormal, Dark Ride, Shadowlands, and I would say Trick or Treat just because it's new, and I didn't do it because I didn't know it was new. I'm hoping to go back and do it now. And the Pumpkin Eater.
What are your, if you're there for one day, what do you skip?
See, that's hard for me to answer because I go there every year. So the ones that are there every year is what I would skip. And I made the mistake of skipping Trick or Treat because of that.
All right. Fair enough.
But I would skip Infected. Just, it's not as fun as it used to be.
And that is the one, that's the zombie hunting.
Yeah, it used to be they turned all of Camp Snoopy into the zombies. And so you'd get together and you'd have teams. And you were kind of competing and you'd have to restore power, go see if there's anyone alive in this camp. And it was lots of running and zombies. You never knew.
It was very interactive.
It was. But now it's more of a maze. And you still get the gun. You still get to shoot the zombies. But it's more of a guided maze. And it's just not as fun as when you're in, what's that restaurant, the Grizzly...
Oh, Grizzly Creek Lodge.
Yeah, when you're in Grizzly Creek Lodge and you're trying to restore power and it appears to be empty and suddenly zombies are jumping up everywhere and you got to shoot them. And my husband actually whacked me in the head with his gun during that one. And then you go up past where the bridges are into the cave, and it was so interactive and not so much a maze but a mission before. Now it's just a maze with... sort of mission that it's not as fun.
Less interactive.
I would skip that now.
Okay. Funny story about me and Camp Snoopy and Halloween Haunt. I worked at Knott's Berry Farm for about 2 or 3 years before I went over to the Disney Dark Side. And I used to work in that restaurant. I was a food supervisor. And we decided for the Halloween time, not the Halloween time copyright, but for time surrounding Halloween, we decided to put in the Great Pumpkin. It's Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown. They used to play DVD. I have a DVD player in there to keep the kids entertained. So for about 4 months, I watched It's a Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown, followed by Charlie Brown Christmas, and it was years before I could watch either one of those movies again. Traumatic stress syndrome. Okay, so overall a good experience?
Yes. I'm hoping to go back again this year, like I said, to do Trick or Treat that I skipped, but also it was just so much fun. It's just done so well.
Wonderful. All right, thank you, Brandis. Let's toss it over to, Aaron. Aaron, tell us all about Halloween Horror Nights this year.
All right. I'm going to preface this and say this is my 6th consecutive year of going to Halloween Horror Nights, so I've had many... years of experience of the different mazes that they do and what they can do.
So we'll start off with this, and this is your 6th consecutive, just like Brandy goes every year. How did this compare to the previous 5 years?
This was definitely not my favorite year this year.
Okay. Tell us all about it.
It was a little, I think there you could potentially tell some budget cuts in some of the designs of the mazes, because Studios is known for how immersive they can make their mazes and how well detailed they make them. Many people probably remember Krampus and Crimson Peak. And I also want to say I don't watch horror films. So I don't have any knowledge of the movies or anything, the references they're making, but I can still appreciate these mazes.
So the Blumhouse maze is totally lost on you, right?
I mean, they generally are. Like, I'll know have a general idea of what the movie's about. My brother and my dad go with me, and they've seen pretty much most of these movies, so they can kind of give me a backstory before I go in or afterwards.
The Blumhouse maze is essentially a maze that is The Purge. It's essentially the creators of all of these horror movies.
Yeah, The Purge, and actually Happy Death Day, which actually hasn't come out yet. So it's also, promoting new films, too, because they've done that with Insidious.
Insidious is the other one.
Yeah. So they do that on a regular occasion. And don't get me wrong, I've enjoyed all the Insidious mazes beforehand. This one was also well done. Like I said, there was a lot of times where you were just in, like, a dark hallway. It was just black. instead of there being things or nooks and, you know, every nook and cranny is usually detailed with something. Even if it's a door, it's like, oh man, is that door real? Like, or is it, or is it just for show?
Right.
You're not sure, which is the great part about it. And I understand just having black also can mean there can be a curtain there, but a lot of times there was nobody coming out at you anyways. So I felt, and that was just overall with all these mazes, there were some moments where it was just dark. But Saw actually was the first maze we did, which that was down on the back lot. So Universal spreads out their mazes as well. They have three usually on the back lot with a little scare zone, which was the Urban Inferno, which was back there. So down on the back lot, you go through a little scare zone, which is also in a way a mini maze, but it's outdoors. Very well themed. Anyways, it was a little tiny space. And costumes and makeup are amazing. Still amazing, I still have to say. But so the first thing we did was Saw. And once again, haven't really seen the movies. I know I've seen parts of one, so I know kind of the premise of it. I thought Saw was really well done. They definitely got me in a few spots. I was in front of the maze. I was being the leader, so I was definitely targeted because I was in the front, which was my goal. Don't get me wrong. Very well themed, great moments as well. Also down there was the American Horror Story, which was, I've never watched the show. They had American Horror Story last year, which apparently was focusing on three seasons, and this was focusing on some of the other seasons that they didn't do for last year. Much better this year. If you did American Horror Story last year and was disappointed, this year I thought was much better. The scare moments, it was darker. They made you, kind of funneled you into more smaller spaces. Last year it was just giant open spaces, and it was much harder for the actors to kind of come out at you and get away, and then come back at you because you could see them trying to retreat back to their spot. And it was like, well, I know where you are now. So definitely enjoyed that as well. And Ash versus Evil Dead was down there, which was fun. It was a fun maze. Unfortunately, my dad was like, I don't know what maze I'm in. It was kind of the point where he wasn't sure which mazes he was in because it wasn't, I think it wasn't as detailed as...
Ash versus Evil Dead, I believe, is based off of an epic show or some cable show, so it's not really well known, and even reading the description, I mean, I get, right, we've all played the video game that it's... Evil Dead, right? We've all played the video game, but I'll admit, you're reading the description of the maze, I don't know, I have no idea what any of this stuff is, so.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Anything else?
Yeah, Titans of Terror was a great maze, and that's upstairs over by Waterworld. So that includes Jason, Freddy, and Leatherface all in this maze, and my brother and my concern when we first were about to go into this maze was how are they going to transition or tie these all in together? Because they're very, you know, they're three distinct characters in different movies. But we felt they did a good job of presenting each one and then transitioning to the next one. Also, you know, great moments of scares as well with them coming out at you and with a chainsaw.
Did you do the Terror Train this year?
I did. And... It was very, very disappointing this year.
Really? How's
very that? Disappointing. So in previous years, it was a long trek. Every year they still do this where they drop you off pretty much by Whoville on the back lot. And there's always a cluster. They'll drop you off, so everyone on that tram gets off, and there's a cluster of actors ready to kind of run at you. And everyone's like, oh man, who's going to be first to break the line, essentially, and go through it? So you walk through that, and you go to the Bates Motel, and you have to walk around the Bates Motel, and there's people coming, you know, out you in, from the hotel. And this year, as well, they had Titans of Terror on the tram. So it started with Chucky coming out at you when you first got off the tram, and then Jason was in the Bates Motel. And then in previous years, you would walk off much further off to the left after the Bates Motel, up the hill, and there'd be more, like, it'd be dark, there'd be more scares up there, they'd create, like, wooden huts that you'd have to walk through, and there'd be scare actors in there. Not this year. They immediately just you veered off to the right up to the Psycho House. You had a photo opportunity if you wanted to take one. They had the Titans of Terror cast like up there for photo opportunity in front of the Psycho House. And if you don't want to do that, you just continue on through War of the Worlds scene, which was where excuse me, Leatherface was and his associates and his family in the film. And usually that's a much scarier moment too, because they have tall wooden planks on either side of you where those actors are on the sides, basically like giant fences, and the actors on either side. This year they made them half the size so you could see the scare actors up above you. So it was like either they had to duck down really far in order to come out at you,
there
was no surprise factor. It was like, wow. Oh, wow, there they are. I mean, granted, we all know, like, anything can happen at you, but, you know, it's the whole part of not seeing someone, and then all of a sudden they're in your face. The problem, too, with, well, I'll keep going, and then after as you got into War of the Worlds actual scene, they had Freddy in his various disguises wandering around with the crowd, which was actually done really well. I will have to give the actors did a great job. The problem with that is, since the Terror Tram is cut in by more than half of what it used to be for the walk that you used to walk, but they still bring out as many people as they used to. So it basically felt like LA traffic. You would just, I mean, you literally, like, we got off the tram and you saw we couldn't go anywhere because the people before us, they couldn't go anywhere. Mm-hmm. So we were kind of just
inching along the entire
time. And of course, scare actors, I mean, like I said, they did what they could, but usually they have a lot more space to come out at you, and they were literally kind of like, oh, I gotta, you know, I felt like I was being hurt.
Pardon me.
I'm not supposed to touch you, but there's really no way around this, because we are literally, like, just, you know, elbow to elbow, shoulder to shoulder in here, and it felt like being herded through, not gonna lie. So it just really wasn't as much fun this year.
Now, one that we talked about last week that sounded really exciting to everyone here at the table was the Shining Maze,
yes,
which was new for this year. Did you get to go on the Shining Maze?
Oh, yes. Yes, I definitely get Front of the Line Pass every year. I definitely recommend that to everyone. I know it's much more expensive, but it's well worth it because you can do everything. So, yes, I was able to do the Shining as well. And I've seen most of the movie. I've not read the book, but I've seen most of the movie. And It was well done in the it was well done overall, but there were still moments where how it's leading up to that, you know, here's Johnny moment that everyone knows about, felt like, because they already had Johnny coming out at you well beforehand, and so, like, leading up to that moment, it was just like, that scene's supposed to happen. I forgot. I already saw him come out at me earlier with, you know, the... But, I mean, it was well done. There was some... There was one moment that I did appreciate it from it. You're in a room where all this blood is supposed to be coming down. You know, it's projected into... And there's the bathtub full of blood, so to speak. And then the floor is, like, supposed to be blood. And all you just keep hearing, red rum, red rum, red rum, like, over and over again. And as we're all hurting through that little space and we're heading off to our left, I accidentally actually stepped on the quote-unquote blood on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And it was probably some type of, like, resin type thing. But it was actually, like, a different texture, and it was sticky. Like, I stepped on it, and I was like, oh, this is not carpet. So I was like, I actually really appreciated that. And
so you really immersed into the experience. Yeah.
I mean, obviously it wasn't liquid. I wasn't, like, stuck to it, but it was, like, it was a sticky texture. So
sticky is my least favorite texture, by the way.
So
was the maze dark or was it bright? Because the movie itself, for being scary, is pretty bright.
Yeah, it's lit up, I would definitely say. I mean, there's spots where you get into hallways that are darker, but for overall, yes, you can see exactly where you're going. And for the most part, I feel like a lot of Universal, you know, they use a lot of show lights. Mm-hmm. So Universal's, so you're not, it's not super dark. Because Fright Fest, I've done that a few times, and they use lights, but they don't quite have the same budget, nor the, you know, Universal Studios is, you know, television and movies are right there, so on the sound stages, so they have plenty of opportunity to use that equipment. But yeah, it's pretty well lit up, and of course you end quote unquote outside in the snow, so it's a good moment too. and it gets really cold all of a sudden. You're like, wow, the AC really works in here.
It's really immersive. Oh, my gosh. That's awesome. Okay, so really quickly, must-dos. Your must-dos for Halloween Horror Nights this year.
I would definitely say Saw. Actually, The Horrors of Blumhouse was done well. I know it was just kind of a mashup of a lot of things, but they had great moments of each actor coming out at you. Even if, you know, one of the movies isn't going to come out.
Even if you're not familiar with the particular IP, yes, it's still a good house.
Yes.
Or maze, we call it maze here.
I mean, like I said, it's a mashup, so the beginning of it, you're outdoors with The Purge, and quite honestly, I don't find The Purge as... It's not really as scary when they're not actually trying to kill you, so... Because that's the whole point of The Purge.
Right.
They're just wearing weird masks. But once you got inside the actual indoor part of it, with Happy Death Day and the other Sinister was the other mashup that they did, those two were really well done with the amount of scares they had. So I definitely enjoyed that. The Shining, really well done. And Titans of Terror, I have to say. I mean, that was a really long maze, Titans of Terror, because it had three of those.
What is the charge for the VIP? It's not the RIP tour. You just did the front of the line.
Yeah, there is a VIP tour.
RIP tour.
Yes. Because you get the buffet with it.
Oh.
Yeah. That one is...
Somebody should call Knott's, because I think they ripped off that.
I'm sure.
But it's not like...
Knott's also has a buffet.
Yes.
And it doesn't really say, but I know, I think that's what they're trying to go at. But yeah, VIP, that's $269. But that also gives you unlimited access to the front of the line for each maze. So you can keep going. Like, if you like a maze and you want to go it again, you can do it again. It's no issue. But the front line ticket, which is I usually get, that starts at $169. Possibly if you, go online and go earlier in before, Halloween. If you go the weekend of Halloween, yes, it'll be much more expensive. But that's the one I do, and that allows you one, front of the line for each maze. So, but it is well worth it, because I've done it 1 year without front of the line, and I was only able to do two mazes, the Terror Tram and a show, the entire hours that it was open, because there was 90 minute waits plus as we were already there. So
bring us does Knott's Berry Farm have a Fastlane front of the line?
It's called a Fright Lane pass. Like, instead of a fast lane, it's Fright Lane. And it's not as expensive as Universal Studios.
No.
I think it was, it really depends though on which nights you go. The closer you go to Halloween, the more expensive it gets. But let me see if it lists it here. Yeah, it starts around $80.
That's significantly cheaper.
Yeah.
And yeah, they have a Boo Fest too. It's and that when you get the Boo Fest, it gets you an hour early entry.
That may be worth it.
Yeah.
Just alone
so
to get that early entry.
If you don't want to do the line passes, instead do that and get on all the ones that are going to be the most popular first. And by the time the park opens, you have most of them done.
That's exciting.
They had something in the past called a skeleton key.
They did not do that this year.
They didn't. Okay.
No, yeah, the skeleton key was for just certain rooms.
Right, they were like bonus
rooms.
For each maze.
I never did that, but it did come. First of all, yeah, it's really expensive because it's only for certain things, but it also came with this really fancy souvenir key.
Oh, yeah.
So,
did you take in any of the shows while you were there, like The Hanging?
This year we haven't yet, but we've done in the past. Elvira is definitely, I could see why she's retiring. She still looks great. She does not look
her age. I saw pictures. She looks amazing.
No, she does not look her age, but she moves her age.
Gotcha.
So
I'm super, super excited. I was reading the breakdown of what's going on. Are you guys aware that the Max, like the guy, Ed Alonso, who played Max on Saved by the Bell, still does his show at Knott's Berry Farm?
That's amazing.
That's one of my favorite things ever. Like, that's a guy from Saved by the Bell. I kind of aged myself a little bit there.
No, I'm right there with you.
So that's it. So the VIP sounds like it's also a pretty good deal if you get along with the buffet.
I would suggest do the buffet. It's $40 cheaper. Well, once again, depends on what night. closer you get to Halloween, the more expensive. But if you were to go, like, this weekend, do the buffet and the ticket, you have to buy a ticket still.
Right, it's a ticket and...
So then it's going to be, like, $80 per person, approximately.
But even then, you still get
But you still have to pay for parking and stuff. But with the buffet, yeah, you get the buffet.
And an hour
Yeah, early. And then you also get a souvenir soda bottle that only costs $1 per refill. Mm. And you get really thirsty with all the screaming and laughing. Maybe people don't laugh as much as I do, but I like being scared. So every time me or my husband's screaming, I'm laughing. And so I'm pretty much laughing and screaming all night. And I get so thirsty. I brought in 3 water bottles with me last night and went through them all in 2 hours.
Oh, my.
That's amazing. That sounds like a lot of fun. All right. So, Erin, if you're going to skip something at Universal Studios, what would you skip this year?
I would probably skip the Jabberwockies show. This is the second year they've had that show. And
I miss Bill and Ted.
Yeah, it's just not the same. I mean, really, it's not. I mean, they do a good job. They're professional dancers. But for them to try to put an entire show, you get kind of, you're like, well, you're doing kind of the same moves. And this last year's kind of, it's an abstract kind of theme that they go with to try to tell their story with dance. This year was a little haphazard in a way. Just, I mean, it had a storyline, yes, but it wasn't as exciting. I mean, the best part was when they, brought someone from the audience and down to them and like, hey, come dance with us type of thing. So that's always fun because, the person's like, oh, gosh, I got to dance.
if you go back and listen to the first show, I like to be interacted with as little as possible when I go see a show. Also, the one thing that may drive me to go to Knott's Berry Farm, are you guys aware of what the hanging show is titled this year?
No.
I hadn't heard.
No.
Fake Noose.
Oh my God, that's brilliant.
Last night.
Yeah, the title of this year's hanging is titled Fake Noose.
Oh,
that's brilliant.
So, of course, I also remember...
After we're done here, I'm jumping on YouTube and seeing if anyone got it. Yeah.
All right, well, thank you, Erin. And then last, but certainly not least in our minds, Diane, how did things go down the freeway at Disney?
Not so scary.
All right, yeah.
No Mickey with a chainsaw or anything. So we're good.
Awesome.
Well, for some of us, perhaps.
From your mouth to Bob Iger's ears.
No, actually, I was very, very pleasantly surprised at the crossover for Halloween at DCA. From the moment you get to the front gate, it starts.
I love that they have Oogie Boogie as their kind of mascot this year.
It's incredible. It's huge. The cutout of him over the main entrance with bats extending beyond him in front of a giant full moon is breathtaking. And then when he starts talking to you before you even enter the park and starts with his little quips and phrases, it's just really cool. And then once you get in, it's... as long as it's after dark and the street lights are lit, they have purple lighting in all of the trees. And all down Buena Vista Street, all the way past Carthay, and just beyond the Carthay Circle, it's all spooky BGM background music. And it's terrifying at some spots because you're standing there and all of a sudden you hear boo, and it's Oogie Boogie's voice, and it's coming from you don't know where. And then he'll giggle or he'll do a little...
That definitely sounds a little bit more intense than the Disneyland experience.
Absolutely, which is fun for the not-so-littles. You know, you've got your middle-age, your tweens, and it's a little more fun for them.
Right.
The ones that aren't quite ready for Universal Horror Nights or Knott's. They're just not quite there.
It's a little scary. It's a little bit more... adult is the wrong word, but it's a little bit more...
Mature.
Mature, there you go. Mature, but not quite to the level of, The Purge.
Absolutely. I think one of my favorite parts of the decor was that Headless Horseman statue that we talked about last week. It's amazing. It's huge. It's in the same part of the hub there that the Christmas tree is usually in every year. And it just, there's creepy music and there's a lot of smoke from the horse's nose and it's lit up very well, and it's just freaky. It's really, people are lined up for a half hour, 40 minutes just to take a picture with it.
Wow.
It was pretty impressive. I would have liked to see the Halloween theme spill more into the outer entrances of the other parks, like Hollywood Land, not parks, sections of the park, Grizzly area, but it didn't spill over as much. It was just on that main Buena Vista
just street. On the main entrance part, okay.
And then Carthay Circle's lit up beautifully. The tower is got this ominous green color to it with bats emerging from it. And every once in a while you'll hear the bells toll and you'll hear Boogie say something. And that was really neat. I really enjoyed it.
Did you get to go on Mission Breakout, the new Mission Breakout?
Heck yes.
Have you been on the old, because I have still not been on the old, the previous Mission Breakout.
I have. I've been on both versions now, which I'm proud to say. The original is great. I think it's a lot of fun. A lot of people were sad to see Tower of Terror go, but I've got to say they replaced it with something pretty awesome. As far as the new version, the Monsters After Dark goes, it's intense. The music is great. It's one new track only, so no matter which version of it, it's the same version of Ride After Dark. It doesn't change. The music and the video is the same for every guest experience for the After Dark hours.
Because it changes in the normal version, right? It's
correct.
You get different tracks and you get...
Right. During the daytime, during normal operation, it is on Mission Breakout, there are six different variations of the attraction. Six different videos, six different songs, rock songs you can experience. But for everyone, Monsters After Dark, it's the same. The premise is cute. So the Guardians have broken out. And what happens is Baby Groot somehow gets left behind, and your mission is to go back in and rescue him. And because there's been a breakout, all the containment units for all the monsters have busted open, and they're all infesting the building. So the cast members there have these tremendous costume changes from the day wear. They're wearing like these safety gear, and if you don't want any spoilers, don't listen. But they're wearing safety gear that says recovery unit on the back, and they're all charred, and there's like what appears to be blood splatter on them without actually saying it is, but it's pretty interesting.
That's intense. I mean,
it's very
for
different.
Disney, that's
very un-Disney.
Disney experience,
it's definitely a break from the norm, and I think a lot of the people appreciated it, actually.
Yeah, and that's really kind of brand California Adventure as maybe, like you said, maybe a little bit more mature. Maybe
right.
If your kids are not ready for chainsaws and, Dark Ride, but they want something a little bit more...
than just Mickey's trick-or-treat.
Right, yeah. That sounds exciting. Obviously, that sounds more my speed, because I don't like being scared.
And so, it's not sticky.
And it's not sticky. See, now we're sold. All right. You tried some of the food, or you tried a food
I
item.
Tried one that I heard about, and I thought it sounded very fascinating, because it is a concoction I would have never come up with or even thought of. It's offered over at the Corn Dog Castle over in the Paradise Pier area. And I'm going to read the description because it's really funky. You're not going to believe this combination. It is spicy pepper jack cheese that is dipped in corn batter and fried like a corn dog.
Stop right there.
That's what drew me in first. But then they drizzle it with blackberry sauce.
Oh.
They top it with sweet pineapple salsa, diced serrano chilies, and crushed Cheetos.
Okay, the Cheetos is that.
It sounds like they're trying to copy Fear Food.
Very much so. But I got to tell you, it is delicious. And one of my friends that I was with, he says, it's the cheese stretch factor, too.
Oh.
You take a bite and you pull it away from your mouth, and it's just one long string of cheese.
It's
pretty amazing.
Yeah, you have a few more of the food items there.
I have four pages of food items. Shall I go over them individually?
No, let's pull a couple of others. That sound interesting.
One of my favorites that I do want to try, actually, is the pumpkin raisin bread pudding at the Pacific Wharf. It sounds delicious.
It looked
like it came with the side of the sweet cream that you pour over top, and then pumpkin seeds on top of the whipped cream on top of that. So it's like a pull apart bread. It looked like
I love bread pudding. It's one of my
best. Just looked very delicious. And on the Disneyland side, actually, they offer one that I would like to try. Actually, it's at the Stage Door Cafe right outside Golden Horseshoe, and it's the Campfire S'mores Funnel Cake. With chocolate chili ganache and toasted marshmallow sauce with graham cracker crumbs and crushed peanut butter candy. That just sounds really good.
That, I will take that over a pumpkin spice latte any day.
I love chili chocolate anyway.
That sounds
delicious.
And of course you can't go without French beignets. They have dreamsicle beignets over at New Orleans.
Is the pumpkin beignet? These are the pumpkin beignets this year?
I didn't see them, but I just have a list of the dreamsicle ones, which I'm imagining is like the 50-50 bar.
Yeah, right? that's because there wasn't a description of it it out, but it does sound like it's orange and cream 50-50 bar kind of thing. All right, well, that all sounds wonderful. I think I'm going to go to Disneyland after this and go try some of that bread pudding.
That's a Pacific Wharf at DCA.
Okay, well, go hang out with Oogie Boogie. So if that is all, I thank everyone for being here. Thank you for listening. Again, you can find us on iTunes, and once again, you can find us on our Facebook page, Vacation Land. Let us know what you think. Leave us some comments, give us a thumbs up, and let us know some of the things that you would like us to talk about. Until then, for everyone seated at the table, and again, for our associate producer John, who could not be with us this week, my name is Chris Ramirez. Thank you for listening, and enjoy your stay in Vacation Land.